Chapter 12. A Vulture. Robbie came charging across the grass on his bike. Right at the edge of the garden, he did a wild wheelie and then jumped off, letting the bike spin to the ground with a thud. Rennie screamed, "The cauliflower!" The bike had landed across two cauliflower plants that had just come rip, breaking the fruits into pieces. One of them was to be dinner that night. She couldn't believe how awful she felt. In 2.5 months, she'd grown to love the garden almost as if it were Papa. Robbie saw the look on her face and said, in a small voice, "Gosh, I didn't mean it." She turned away from him, keeping her angry words to herself. In a moment, his voice got brighter. "Rennie, I was in a rush to tell you something. That's why it happened. Don't you want to hear?" "No," without meaning to. She walked to the bracelet grave and stood over it protectively. For some reason, the thought of Julie had entered her mind. Robbie gave her a curious look, but he didn't say anything, and she sighed a small relief. She had let the weed grow over the grave to make it look uncared, for Robbie had no reason to suspect anything. To keep him from thinking too long, she asked, "Okay, what?" "I met Julie, and she has a message for you. When school starts, don't talk to her. Don't look at her. Don't come near any of her friends on the playground. If you do, she'll say a prayer that Papa never comes home." "I don't believe it," shouted Rennie. "You're lying." "Cross my heart. I'm telling Mama about the cauliflower. She'll make you eat it raw, piece by piece, right off the ground. I'm telling her you lied, and she'll write to Papa. You'll be sorry you ever made up such a hateful, hateful thing." She ran to the kitchen and did just as she said. But Mama, who was cooking with Loretta, answered her shortly. "It's silly to worry about Julie after all this time. And bring in the cauliflower. It's still edible. Rennie grabbed the bowl and stormed outside. She ordered Robbie to move his bike, then clenched the broken bits of vegetable into the bowl. How unfair it was. How stupid she felt. How many people were. But what did Robbie and Mama have to do with it? Rennie rushed the bowl into the kitchen, dropped it on the table, and was out the front door fast. She'd tell Julie a thing or two. She'd show her how could be mean. It was a hot night. The McLeans were in their backyard, getting ready to eat, it seemed. Rennie had a sudden stab of fear. She didn't want to see Julie's parents. She stopped a little way down the street to watch them. Mrs. McLean was putting food on the picnic table, and Mr. McLean and Julie were running around laughing. Julie had the hose and was spraying her father. He was spreading his arms out and wiggling his tongue at her and looking really dumb, or fun. He had that same grin he wore the day he took Julie and Rennie rafting on the peaceful Myra River. They kept pushing him over into the water. He kept coming up and spraying water through a snorkel at them. Then he tipped the raft over and grabbed them each under the chin and back kicked all the way to shore. The three of them kept laughing. Mr. McLean was strong and warm and jolly. Rennie no longer felt like shouting and pushing, but her hatred kept growing. She walked to the fence and stood staring at all of them. When Julie noticed her, Rennie called out, "You'll be sorry, Julie McLean. Your brother will get killed, and it will be all your fault. Bad things happen to bad people." She waited for them to do something. When would they holler at her? When would Julie throw a tomato? Something had frozen a look of horror on their faces. Mr. McLean moved first. His huge body came barreling forward. He pointed his finger. "See here?" Rennie ran, but she heard him shouting after her. "What you need is to be turned over your father's knee." What had he said? She slowed down, but she kept on going until she rounded the corner out of sight. Then she stopped and crouched down, hugging her knees to her chest. "Papa would never let me be so mean." When she saw, finally able to get up, she walked on home like a snail. She picked at her supper. Who cared about Mr. McLean? It was her terrible words that matter. Your brother will be killed, killed. Shouldn't she be happy? She'd done what she wanted. Mama, who'd been watching her, said, I'm not angry with you, Renetta. I snapped at you because I was upset. Rennie had forgotten about that, but Mama went on, your brothers might have to join the army. Rennie's forehead furrowed into a deep frown, and the smell of her fried potatoes was suddenly sickening. She looked quickly to Rick, who was trying to smile while he chewed. He finally swallowed his mouthful and assured his mother there was nothing to worry about. They won't be calling men as young as us unless the war gets much worse. Which it will, said Mama. Now Rennie swallowed hard. She thought again of the McLeans staring at her, frozen. She thought of her brothers being killed, who the first time the war seemed real. She searched her brain for something hopeful. Mrs. Byrne said it's a good war, she offered, a good war that takes your papa prisoner and then asks his son to fight. She said, when the right side wins, papa will be free. There is no right side, insisted Mama. Then does that mean papa will never be free? Papa, Rick and Serge, Tom McLean, the Italians, the Jews, how could she have been so mean? Be good, thought Rennie desperately. Try to be completely good. If everyone does that, then the war will end. But lots of other people weren't willing to be good. Late on the following Saturday afternoon, Rennie said goodbye to her friends and dashed to the bakery. It was Rick's last day there. The next morning, he was going back to university on his scholarship because there wasn't enough work for all of them in the bakery, and Mama thought he was better off doing something useful. Rennie wanted to spend that last half hour watching him shine up the counters, close out the cash register, fold up Papa's apron, and drop it in Mama's laundry bag. Rick enjoyed the bakery almost as much as Papa did. Even though Rick would be leaving, Rennie had a good feeling when she arrived. She smiled at the sound of Serge humming loudly as he wiped down the ovens in the kitchen. The smell of baked blueberries made her pleasantly hungry. Mama tied up a pie for Mrs. Hubinsky. Other customers were buying the last loaves of bread for a few pennies. Mrs. Byrne bought some, but she insisted on paying full price. This bread is just as good as it was first thing in the morning, she exclaimed. Not your fault. I didn't manage to get here until 4:30. She flashed her green eyes at Rennie as she left. Gracie, called Mama after her. That's a good woman, she said to the others. Signor and Signora Scioppa were there spending pennies, for which Signora apologized. We are all in this together, Mama said. The miners were back at work, all except the Italians, whom the bosses had finally fired. The Scioppas, as well as the DeVitos, were living largely on the kindness of neighbors. The five young people at Rennie's house usually left the supper table slightly hungry, but once or twice a week, Mama took sauce and pasta to their friends anyway. Rennie leaned her elbows on the glass countertop and gazed lovingly into Rick's face. He gave her a teasing grin and put the Scioppa's bread in a paper bag. With a contented smile, he folded the top down into a neat handle for them. Mama took out the broom to ready the floor for mopping. It looked sparkling anyway, and Rennie knew she swept about every half hour. But she looked fine with the broom in her hand, peaceful. For a moment, Rennie felt perfect. She had a perfect family. Then the door flew open. Immediately, a charge of salt air from the harbor drowned the sweet bakery smells. Three men plowed in, miners, all of them. Their eyes were red, and for a few moments they bumbled about clumsily, tripping over their feet, stumbling against the counters, One of them staggered uncomfortably close to Rennie, and she baked away at the smell of the tavern on his breath. Mr. McLean was the leader. He came like a vulture, shiny-headed and red-nosed. He looked threateningly first into Mama's eyes, then into Rick's, then, with the hatred that seemed to burn, into Rennie's. She hurried to Mama's side. Mama held on to the broom like a crutch and squeezed Rennie close to her. Signor and Signora Scopa backed against the window. Helen Hubinsky stood solid right in the middle of the floor. One of the men spread his arms wide against the door. No one's leaving, he said. Mr. McLean slurred a demon. What? We want some pies. Where are your pies? There aren't any left, Rick said, staying as calm as possible. Three pies and fast. Believe me, but Rick didn't have a chance to finish. The men headed toward the kitchen, only to be met by Serge, a solid scowl across his face, standing at the door. I've called the police, he announced forcefully. You'd better leave. Call the police, eh? Mr. McLean laughed. A lot good that'll do it. Why? He tried pushing his way past Serge, but Serge kept blocking the door until the two of them were shoving at each other. You drunken fool, cried Mrs. Hubinsky in disgust. Take this and leave good people alone. She held out her pie, but he laughed again. Get out, warned Serge. Get out before you're sorry. The other miners were holding back, but Mr. McLean was frightening. He started talking. Traitors, living the good life while your countrymen slaughter people overseas, you owe us 6 good weeks of mining lost because of Italian traitors. No pies, we'll see. He pushed at Serge. Serge pushed back. Mama was shaking like a leaf, and so was Rennie. She had inside her the cold memory of things she had done to Julie. She, an Italian. Mr. McLean was big, but Serge had a temper. They shoved until finally Serge shouldered him in a football tackle and pushed him backwards. His feet scrambled under him and his face went beastly, but he recovered. He stood catching his breath, getting ready to charge. They are two explosives, ready to blow. You can take them apart. Though she had a terrible fear in the pit of her stomach, Rennie burst free from Mama and ran to Mr. McLean. Frantically, she looked up into his pale blue eyes. They were rimmed in red like one of her demons. But she knew that he could smile. Mr. McLean, please stop. Julie's my friend. He stopped painting and focused those eyes on her. His body seemed to sink a bit as he gazed at her. Your friend, he repeated in amazement. He wiped at his brow, turned slowly, and walked out the door. The other men shuffled out behind him. Mama came and drew Rennie into her arms. She buried her face in Rennie's hair and whispered, Grazie Dio. Rennie held her too, but not in quite the little girl way she had before. She felt bigger.